Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Ronananian. Sometimes the repairs are nonsensical in a sense of, because you're working on it and you're going, why am I doing this? It shouldn't be bad. It's not supposed to break.
The Car Doctor.
Somebody comes in and they tell me, you know, my car is burning oil, and I'm told that it's normal because it's a quart every 1,000 miles. The industry says that's good. Some car companies are talking a quart every 800 miles, which blows my mind.
Welcome to the radio home of Ron Ananian, The Car Doctor. Since 1991, this is where car owners the world over turn to for their definitive opinion on automotive repair. If your mechanic's giving you a busy signal, pick up the phone and call in. The garage doors are open.
But I am here to take your calls at 855-560-9900.
And now, here's Ronnie.
There's a great article at alldata.com this month. If you go to alldata.com and go under the and look under resources and slide over under the resources tab, you can go to their monthly newsletter they put out. And there is a great article there that talks about, it starts out with brake hoses are not always the problem. And it references some procedures and steps you can look at, especially on vehicles equipped with ABS, anti-lock brakes, as far as determining, you know, is it a hose? Is it the hydraulic control unit? Is it a master cylinder? Is it a caliper? And I just wanted to put that out there because I think, you know, my brakes pull to the left, my brakes pull to the right. The pedal doesn't feel great. I thought it was a very good article written by Dennis Shortino this month. So, you know, I read their stuff every month, and, you know, I just wanted to highlight that. Alldata.com, go look under the resources tab. You'll find the newsletter. And that's available, I believe, to anybody. You don't necessarily need an Alldata subscription in order to do that. So just be aware. Let's kick the garage doors open right away because the line's long. Let's go to John in Massachusetts, 93 Buick Regal. John, welcome to the Car Doctor, sir. How can I help?
Hi, Rod.
Yes, sir.
Nice to talk to you.
You too, sir.
It was pretty coincidental that you started talking about ABS systems because that's my problem. My ABS light went on recently.
Okay.
And a friend of mine, he's a mechanic, but he's not really doing much now, had an old OBD1.
Right, yeah. That's an OBD1 car. Sure. Yep.
Yeah, and he claims that all the sensors are sending information. So I think you could probably rule out the sensors.
Did it?
But beyond that,
did it have a fault? Did it have a fault code, John? Do you recall? Did he test it for codes?
He might have, but I don't quite recall.
Okay. And what was his conclusion? Not to usurp him, but what was his conclusion?
Well,
what did he decide?
You can usurp him if you'd like. no, he... I don't think he really wanted to work much on it, but he thinks it's more than just merely the sensors. He thinks, you know, could even be a module. But he didn't do a very extensive test on it.
Okay. What kind of scan tool was he using? Was it the snap-on brick, the old red brick?
It was probably an old scan tool that he had, you know, years ago, maybe when the car was, you know, back in the 90s, he probably purchased it.
You know, and when we say back in the 90s, I was saying this to somebody just yesterday. You know, the 90s was 35 years ago. It's scary, right?
It's hard to believe.
Yeah, it really is. It's, you know, I was telling somebody, and I was talking about it last week on the show, about how I went through the shop again. New Year came around. You know, I cleaned out all the tools from the 80s. I didn't necessarily throw them all out, but, you know, I've got them tucked away, you know, in trailers and bins and in storage. And, you know, I've got them indexed in case, you know, that one car happens to show up that's going to be fixed. You know, but you just don't keep them out front line anymore because the 80s was 40 years ago, 45 years ago. Yeah, it really is. It's crazy. To your problem, just looking at sensors, it's not the solution now and it wasn't the solution then. So is the light on and is it on steady or is the light blinking?
It's steady.
Okay. So the fact that it's on steady tells me there is a problem in the system, and if we're following the way that system was created, on steady means there is a problem somewhere other than the ABS hydraulic control unit. The way those were designed were, because this is, you know, this is early diagnostics, right? This was the early 90s. If the ABS control unit had a fault and we wanted to trust that the broken thing was able to tell us anything decent, we have to believe the way that, you know, if we read the service description on how that system's designed, if the light's on steady, there is more likely a fault with one of the sensors than the control unit itself. All right?
Really?
Yeah. It was very common. Those were common to have faults with the front wheel speed sensors, the hub and the bearing, especially in a high corrosion, high corrosive environment. Let's see, where are you? Massachusetts, you qualify. You know, oh, it's going to snow. When? 3 months from now. We'll start putting salt on the road today. You know, it's welcome to Massachusetts.
They do use a lot of salt.
Yeah. So, you know, that's always part of it. To say that if there is no fault code, you got to pull a code. All right. If there's no code, then I'm going to diagnose the system, you know, and I'm not going to. And I'm gonna say it, and I'm probably gonna say this until the day I die. If you live by the code, you die by the code. I've got no code, but I've got a light on. Then I got to go look and see what else is wrong with the system. One of the things we used to do, and we still do it today, actually, but the snap-on brick, the MT2500, the old first generation scan tool they had, worked well for this. You could graph, and we would bring up typically two sensors at a time because I don't think the screen would support four graphed sensors on a scan tool back in the 90s was unheard of. And, you know, typically you want to do this using a lab scope because of the reaction time, but you might see some discrepancy where if we brought two sensors up on a screen and we graphed them, not looking at them digitally, but looking at them on a graphed line, you know, drive straight down the road. Is the scale equal, you know, left front, right front? Do they both show the same? And then I would work my way around. I would keep the left front so it was always the constant. And then I would swap in. I did the right front. I would bring in the right rear. Then I would put the left rear. I would work my way around. That way I've covered everybody against one. So one or the other, something has to glitch here, right? I've looked at all of them, but I keep one as a standard. You know, we're looking for something where the signal might drop out. We're looking for this for something where the signal may not even be there. All right. Now, that's the good news. The bad news is, if it's anything other than the sensors, the parts are probably long gone. You may not even be able to find sensors anymore. All right.
Yeah.
You know, because they were all part, if I remember right, the front, the rears were individual. The fronts, I believe, were part of the hub and bearing assembly. And they weren't. They weren't a replaceable part on a separate basis. So
wow.
Now you could go, All right. You could go and do an ohm test. There were specs where you could unplug the sensor and look at the resistance value and, you know, start measuring resistance. I don't like to do resistance on something this old because I don't know how accurate it is. You know, I don't know if I have broken wires. I don't know if I have, you know, corrosion. There's just 100 things. I'd rather not start to try and cheat the system just to diagnose it. But I would, you know, it's now the good news is, too, there is good news here. You're always going to have regular brakes. Your regular brakes will always function. You're just going to be looking at this light. Just out of curiosity, how many miles are on this, John, and what kind of shape's the body in? A lot of rust?
No, it's in very good shape. It has 99,000 on it.
Wow.
It was a real nice condition when I got it a few years ago.
Yeah.
It still is a nice condition, but I don't drive it much. I'm sort of disabled myself, so it doesn't get much use.
Right, right.
But the good news is you're right, the brakes work. The bad news is that I can't get an inspection. And my buddy's thought was, I'll just take the bulb out for you. I mean, it doesn't sound too good, but...
Yeah. Who's your regular mechanic, your buddy?
Yeah. I'm retired. I don't get much on Social Security. You know, I can't be... These guys, as you said, they're priceless, but they are indeed expensive.
Yep. Yep.
You know, I can see my entire check for the month getting wiped out.
Yeah, I can feel for you too, buddy. I can understand that. So Massachusetts still does a safety inspection, huh?
Yeah, they do. They're more into the safety, I think, than the
emissions.
After a certain period of time, the emissions, I guess, don't have to be evaluated.
So you still have to. I find that interesting, and I apply. You may not like this, but I applaud Massachusetts that they're actually doing safety even on older cars. In New Jersey, the only thing they care about is the check engine light, and they're counting.
Really?
Yeah, they're counting on law enforcement. Like these guys don't have enough to do to provide the roadside and the bulb that's out and the safety aspect of the vehicle. So, you know, I always say New Jersey is one of the unsafest states in the country because there's no safety here. I
think it's good that they do safety, but in this my particular case, from what I understand, it's not all that important to have them on. And in my case, I don't drive in inclement weather.
So I have one question. What would happen if it's an ABS control unit and you can't buy one? Are you then forced to junk the car and start walking, if you could, per se, if you don't mind the way I stated that?
No, that's a good question. I don't know if there's, you know, so they have some kind of
hardship
part of the law that states if the repair is more than a certain percentage of what the car is worth,
okay,
you can, you know, get past it. But in this case, it's brakes. I doubt they'd allow that, you know.
So, well, no. It's always going to have standard base brakes, right?
Okay, yeah.
You know, is it something that maybe you want to do some gentle prodding and poking and asking? You know, because I would rather encourage you to do that than have somebody pull a bulb and break the law, because then there's an issue. You know, God forbid, right? I always think of the worst case scenario, kiddo, and then I'm going to go, you know, not to lecture, but I always, you know, you got to live life like you're standing in front of the judge. You know, God forbid something goes wrong. Well, yeah. I didn't know. You know, I sold the car. My buddy pulled the brake light bulb 3 years ago, and the new owner, it bothers me. I'd rather see that we exhausted all the options.
I agree with you. That's why I'm calling up and trying to get it fixed. I want to do it right.
Yeah, I would. I would ask your buddy to at least go back with his scan tool and pull codes. What's in there?
Okay.
All right. Just to make sure he did that. And then if he pulls codes and there's nothing in there, call me back and we'll talk about a no-code diagnosis on that, what steps we can possibly take. But in the interim, what I want you to do is talk to the guys down at the local garage or call up Massachusetts DMV and ask them, in the event of a hardship where parts are no longer available on an older vehicle, the rules have to be very specific. How does it pan out? And if anybody from Massachusetts is listening and they have an answer, email me, Ron@cardoctorshow.com, and I'll talk about it on air in the coming weeks, John. and for that's for your benefit. And,
okay.
That you'll get an answer that way too. But I'm just kind of curious. So if anybody knows the answer to that, what's the regulations and the stipulations? Because I don't want to see you break the law. All right, kiddo. You be well, John. Good luck to you. I'm Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. I'll be back right after this. Don't go away.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
I'm your vehicle, baby. I'll take you anywhere you want to go.
Vehicle not taking you where you want to go? Well, call Ron. He's the expert at making your vehicle take you where you need it. 855-560-9900. And now, back to Ron.
Let's do a little bit of email here. Let's get some maintenance out of the way. This comes to us from Mike in Franklin Lakes, New Jersey, as a matter of fact. Ron, I drive a 59 Corvette. And I'm getting ready to bring it back out again for the summer as I'm cleaning it up in hopes that spring will return. Yeah, you and me both, Mike. I'm right there with you, buddy. And I want to know what your thoughts are on polishing and cleaning chrome. I've had a lot of problems in the past with various alleged cleaners that don't really work. And I want to take care, but I don't want to over-polish. What are your thoughts? What do you use? You're going to be surprised at this answer, Mike. Go out to starbrite.com, S-T-A-R-B-R-I-T-E, Starbrite, B-R-I-T-E, starbrite.com. And, you know, they sell a lot of products, a lot of different, interesting, really great automotive products, as well as things for marine. And there's just a lot of applications out there. But go slide over and look under their automotive tab and look at the Starbrite Chrome and Stainless Polish. It's their marine-grade formula. But it works really well on automotive stainless and automotive chrome. And I learned this trick years ago from my first boss in the gas station that if you look at boats, boats operate in a much harsher environment. And the cleaners that you find on boats or that you find for boats sometimes work really well on automobiles. The automobile versions are sometimes watered down. So if you've got something older or something that's got some heavy crud built up on it, the marine version, that's why, and Starbrite does list a marine-grade formula chrome and stainless polish, works really well. So, you know, I've used their product. Matter of fact, I have some Starbrite chrome and stainless in the shop. It works great, and that's my choice. That's what I would use. And while you're there, Mike, you may find something else of interest. They also make waxes, cleaners, all sorts of applicable material for cleaning an older car and a newer vehicle as well. And I should point out, they also make some RV stuff for everybody out there that's driving their big RV. They make the big, long brushes to wash the sides of the RV. And it's just a really neat website. It's like a one-stop-does-all kind of a place, starbrite.com. So you can do that, and I think you'll be fine. And hope to see your 59 out on the road sometime soon. This comes to us from our buddy Micah up in Maine. Ron, I'm writing for advice and asking questions, not just from you as the radio show host. You know, I love Micah. He's so funny and entertaining the way he writes, in a sense. But as my former shop, yeah, because we used to work for Micah, you know, when he was down in the area. You may not want to take the time to answer it fully, and I would understand. Well, ha-ha, Micah, I'm answering it on air. What do you think about that? My 2015 Subaru is due for another set of tires. It's a low-mileage vehicle with only 55,000 miles on it. This will be my third set. Not bad, but I tell you what, if this is your third set in 55, you're burning through tires every 25,000 miles or so, 26,000, 27,000. Both sets of tires I have on it were worn out from age and dry cracking, not from mileage. Neither set, which were Goodyear Eagle LS OEM originals, had mileage warranty. This time I would like to get tires with a mileage warranty so I can get some credit from them when they again age out of service. I hope this makes sense and you see this as a rational choice. Yeah, absolutely. I trust my shop, Patriot Subaru. They cannot offer a price nor service on tires that are anywhere near as good as Sam's Club. My particular Sam's Club has a good service team and I have used them on my previous vehicle with great success. With a remounting fee of $20 per tire, Sam's will offer a lifetime road hazard warranty as well as lifetime balance and rotation. I do a balance and rotation at least annually and sometimes every 6 months. Yeah, Micah's problem is he doesn't drive far. Let's get down to the meat and potatoes here. The Goodyear Assurance Comfort from Sam's Club, he says it's 220 a tire. The Michelin Pilot All Sports Sport All Season is 211 per tire. The Goodyear is 60,000 mileage, tread wear warranty, 45,000 on the Michelin. You know, Micah, and I'm going to answer this the way I answered your letter because I actually answered your email to you directly. I wanted you to see my written response. I'm just a fan of Michelin's, all right? I think Michelin's a better tire. I think they ride better, and I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised riding around on the Michelin's versus the Goodyear's. I can see here that the Goodyear's have a longer mileage warranty. My one question would be, what guidelines do you have to follow to get that mileage warranty? What are the requirements for rotation? I don't see a mention of, you do have lifetime balance and rotation incorporated within. That's great, as long as the Sam's Club, you know, does it properly, hand torques the lug nuts and all that. My vote is the Michelin, but I understand if you want to go for the extra mileage warranty out of the Goodyears, but I think you're in good company with either one of those choices. Keep the questions coming, kiddo. I'm Ron Anani and the Car Doctor. I'll be back right after this. Don't go away.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
Welcome back. We're on the name of the Car Doctor. And I want to tell you the story about the almost repaired Focus, and I've got an Autel TPMS scan tool story to tell you, but let me go to the phones. We'll get to that before the end of the hour. Let's go to Brian in Philly, 17 Fusion. Yes, sir. How are you today, Brian? What can I do for you?
Ron, how you doing?
I'm doing good. What's cooking?
Oh, I got a question. I have not had many cars where I've had over 100,000. My last one was my 95 Bonneville. I think I had it to like 133. The Fusion, I have 92,000 miles. I do all the maintenance. You know, I followed the guide. And just a broad question between your experience of seeing them, how many good miles do you think I can get?
How many do you want to get?
Well, let me see. I'd like to get at least a 150.
I think it's doable. I always think of this whenever anybody asks me this question, how many miles can I go? So, you know, I always go back, and I've told this story before, so excuse me if I'm repeating myself. My 04 Suburban. I don't know. There's something about that truck. I just like that vehicle, right? Maybe it was because it was the first thing in my life I could afford to buy 20 years ago that, you know, I could afford to buy it. It was like a big accomplishment for me. And I guess maybe it's the emotional attachment. But I've done everything you could possibly imagine in terms of maintenance and then some to it just to hang on to it. You look at it today, it looks as good as the day I bought it, literally. When that truck had 55,000 miles on it, it's got 90 on it now. When that truck had 55,000 miles on it, the trans blew. It failed. You know, and it was just, you know, why? You would not expect that the planetary came apart and it chewed up the converter and I had to put a trans in it. And subsequently at that moment, I did a radiator. I did cooler lines. I did everything that was exposed or possibly contaminated just because I could. And, you know, I'm going to drive that truck to 200,000 miles, I hope. I hope I live that long at the rate I go because I don't really travel far. But my point becomes, you can drive that Fusion as far and as long as you want. What are you willing to put up with? You know.
Well, I want it to be reliable, of course. Right. You know, and I wanted to have the transmission last at least somewhere where it's not like where I have to have frequent repairs.
Right.
You know, right now it's just the inspection, the oil changes, the basic maintenance. And it's been fine since then, but I want something, you know, I use my car a lot for work. I just want something that'll, you know, be reliable where I don't have to, you know, where I don't have to keep putting it in the shop.
150 to 200,000 miles is not an unreasonable expectation for a vehicle today. It isn't.
Like,
I don't think
my Bonneville, well, my 95 Bonneville, I had 133 and it was still running great, but it needed like a water pump, master cylinder, things like that. And the reason I got rid of it was I had a great discount with Ford and GM, and it was like, it was too good to pass up.
Right.
You know,
it's the other thing you got to look at is obviously the technology change. Although a 17 to a modern day vehicle wouldn't be so radical. If you went from a 17 to a 25 or a 26 model year vehicle, yeah, there'll be some things that you know, catch you by surprise, but it's not as big a change as going from a 95 to a 17 or whatever, you know, whatever model year you switch to with that, from that 95. That 95 was also made in another era, right? Less robots,
yeah.
More people on the assembly line, different engineering, different conceptual ideas. I think that if you're willing to put up with, you know, some major repairs, but still keep it driving, I don't see why that car won't go 200,000. I've said it for years, Brian, and I believe it. It's what are you willing to tolerate? Look,
what do you classify as major repair?
Transmission.
Okay, yeah, I've never had to face that. You know,
right.
I've been very lucky. My Nissan Altima, I had 60-something thousand that was totaled. I was going to keep that for a while, but
right.
I've always done the trans fluid. I think obviously doing a trans fluid change gives you a better shot at your transmission lasting, I'd imagine.
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely. Listen, our little shop truck, the Beater, as we call it, the 97 Ranger you guys keep hearing me talk about, it's real. It's got 224,000 miles on it now. I mean, it's 25 years old, going on 26 years old. And it's getting a little ratty looking. There's no rust on it, but you know, we haven't washed it in probably 10 years. You know, the dirt's kind of the attraction. You know, if you want to go to the scrap yard, if you're hauling parts, if you're hauling something, you know, there's the vehicle for it, right? There's a little 2-wheel drive Ranger. We don't know how long it's going to go. It's kind of a contest now. How much further can we get? You know, can we get 300,000 miles out of it? We'd have to start driving it more. But I also look at the fact that if I went out today to replace that 4-wheel drive Ranger, the Beater, it's a minimum of $30,000-$35,000. And
well, that's the problem, Ron. And the thing is, last time I called you, I said, you know, finding like mid-sized to full-size sedans now on the American market is almost impossible.
Right. Yep.
And I like sticking with GM and Ford, but you know, I may be forced into a foreign, you know, a whatever, a Japanese
right.
car.
Sure.
I don't want to, but
yeah.
The Americans are not giving us many options.
Nope.
The SUVs, as you know, I can't find anything under like 35.
Right. Yeah. You know, it's funny, right? As an aside, and I think this is applicable, we have a customer we work for. She has two cars that I've seen on a regular basis. One's a 92 Buick Roadmaster, and the other one's an 89 Chevy Caprice. And I worked on the Caprice. I worked on both of them recently, but I worked on the Caprice this week, and it's fresh in my mind because I just started to look around. Metal door switches, metal push buttons, metal door handles, you know, and I think of what a brick that car was, how reliable those cars were, and mass-produced in such numbers that they stayed on the American scene. What a nice sedan. And here's this car. Here's an 89. Was it 99, 2009, 2019? This car's 35 years old, and it still rides nice. And it's got 220 or 242,000 miles on it. You know, show me something in this modern age that's going to ride as well as that Caprice did. Full frame automobile, lots of steel, heavy mass, and presented from an American car manufacturer. You know, they're all, it's, you're right, but you're absolutely right. My point is, I agree with you. You'd be hard pressed to find an American made, sedan, this week. You know, or
hey, my great uncle had a Grand Marquis. That thing was like, I think it was on like a Lincoln chassis. That thing was full frame, rear wheel drive. That car, the only reason he got rid of it is because he died.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
But he said, I'm going to keep this car till I die. And sure enough, he did.
He was right.
It was a beautiful
yeah,
car.
It's
beautiful.
It's, I find it funny in a day and age when we're on this, you know, everything's got to be green and recyclable and reusable, and we've got to keep it forever and don't throw it out and don't wear it out. And we make cars that are throwaways. I think there's a little irony in there that if we truly wanted to be a green society, we would make vehicles last longer. But I think then again, we'd put the car companies out of business. They would have nothing to sell us. So,
well, yeah. But,
you know,
they also have to keep your business. I don't know how you, with all the latest stuff, I don't know how you guys keep up. You must have to study things all the time.
All the time. All the time. And,
you know, because you've got to be an engineer now. You have to be like a mechanical engineer, not a mechanic.
Well, and I still think, you know, I said this to someone the other day. We were talking, where will the future mechanics come from? And, you know, how will they do it and how will they get by? Part of the problem in owning a repair shop today is you need, here in the Northeast, you need $2 million to walk in the door. You need to put $1 million worth of equipment in the building, and then you need the building, which is $1 million. So you need $2 million to get started, to look around and in all practicality, and to stay current and to have more than one scan tool and to have what you need. So that's a problem. And then you're always going to class. But there are still shops out there that don't go to class, and I don't understand how they get away with it. They do. I mean, I could tell you stories here all afternoon about, you know, they'll call up and they want to do this and they want to do that. And, you know, and I know what goes on out there. I've got a lot of things in my head, but, you know, I know how shops are doing it wrong. But it's somehow that manages and it gets by. I think it's going to be interesting in the coming years to see the challenges and the opportunities that auto repair presents. But I think we're going to see fewer and fewer independent small shops open up and become. Things are going to go the way of modern medicine, more corporate, more mass conglomerations and chains, because the little independent shop is going to have a hard time staying put.
I worked in a Gulf station in high school. That was when everything was, most stations were mechanic and gas. You never see that. You rarely see that anymore.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, it's either they go to full mechanic or just gas.
Well,
and it's just, it was a different time. I'm sure, I don't know if you ever sold gas.
Oh, I never sold gas, but I pumped enough of it, I work with Tom. He has enough of it, but that's a whole nother story for another day. So let me pull over and take the pause, Brian. As always, a pleasure chatting. You be well.
You too.
And
you
too. And stay safe, sir. I'm Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. We're back right after this.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
Welcome back. And I want to tell you the Autel story. So we had a, sometimes technology just beats you, especially your first time experience with it. We had a 2011 Toyota RAV4 in the shop this week that needed tire pressure sensors. It was pretty basic and simple. It came in with a flashing light. It had a fault in the system. Two of the sensors were reporting dead batteries. The other two sensors were reporting low batteries, meaning they were about to fail. And why not? They're 12 years old. They're allowed. 100,000-mile vehicle, 120,000-mile vehicle, something like that. So we've switched over and we've started using in the last couple of months the newer Autel tire pressure monitoring tool. And it's small. It's like the size of a Samsung Galaxy S10 telephone. It's a small unit. The problem we've discovered of late is it's too sensitive. And I'll tell you the story like this in case you're out there in the shop using one of these to be aware that it seems that its antenna will pick up and record things that aren't exactly in front of it. So imagine the shop is set up bay one, bay two, bay three. We're working in bay one. And we go to program or we go to read tire pressure sensor values from the car, left front, right rear, left rear, and walk around the vehicle. We then take those values and we program them into the new sensors. Put the car down, reset the system, take the car for a ride. Lights out, no problem. Release the car. The car comes back 2 days later, the light's on. We go in and look at the system. There's a fault in both left side sensors. And it's actually a fault where it's mismatched IDs, meaning the IDs, the serial numbers, the unique identifier for those sensors that were programmed into the vehicle are not the values we wrote down, not the values the tool recorded, because we always take a snapshot and a print to save in the customer file. But we don't know where the numbers came from. And then we realized that we had a car in bay two, which is, 15 feet over, 20 feet over, probably 25. The Autel tool, and we prove this, is so sensitive, it will report and measure TPMS signal from the far side bay versus what's we're currently seeing. And the thing that made no sense to us is when we got the sensors on the left side out, because those two were dead and we couldn't read from them, that we actually reported, we wrote down those serial numbers And that's what we put into the tool. So we, you know, we did it the right way. And I'm just saying that sometimes technology beats you. There's a learning curve, and it takes a while to get used to. In the end, we reprogrammed it, and we did it a specific way. And now we've added a step where when we program TPMS sensors, we will take a scan tool out and see if we put in ABCD, is there ABCD in the vehicle via scan tool, not just trusting the tire pressure sensing tool by itself. But we've talked to Autel. They're supposedly working on it. But they've got a problem, and you know, sometimes technology beats you. It's an issue. So just something to be aware of. 855-560. I don't think I've given the phone number at all today. The phones were so busy. 855-560-9900. I'm Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. I'll be back right after this.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
Welcome back. Our reports this week are that Tom's Escape has hit the magic 375,000 mile mark, so the march towards 400 continues.
Not quite. It's 374.
My spies were a little anticipatory. So, but what will we do when Tom hits the 400,000 mile mark? So to be reviewed again in the future.
We need to have a party at RA Automotive.
No. So they have to get past the security guard. So I want to talk a little bit about the almost repaired Focus and help you keep your focus. Yuck. Real life scenario, real world problem. So we had a regular customer that the car was involved in an accident about 18 months ago. And, you know, since then, in that time span, they've been into the shop twice with this car. You know, we see their other cars more regularly. And, you know, he's a regular customer, but this car has not been. And we just had it in a couple of weeks back, and we noticed when we pulled down the left front tire, it was missing the liner. And I think I talked to you guys about this. It was missing the liner for the inner wheel well on the left front. And as a result, also what was missing was they put I believe it's the body module. They put that over there in the wheel well area, and that was exposed. And the body shop had to know what they were doing wrong because they zip tied it in place. They had it secured by a zip tie. So when he asked me what should he do, because it was within 2 years, but over a year, I said, you know, I'd go back to the body shop and talk to them, because in New Jersey, the way the law is written, as I understand it, is if you're using an insurance company repair facility, a direct repair or even a regular body shop, and if I'm wrong, somebody correct me, But they're obligated for a lifetime warranty on repairs. And I said, it's time to go back and have a conversation, because whether it's $50 or $500 or $1,000 or whatever, not cool. The insurance company paid for it. Some parts were left off. You know, tell them this is going to be those pile of parts they found in the corner when they went, oh, gee, what car does this go to? Which brings me to the conclusion for the solution is this makes the value of going to a regular mechanic for oil changes and service and saying, hey, the car was in an accident recently, look it over, that much more important. Till the next time, I'm Ron Anani and the Car Doctor reminding you, good mechanics aren't expensive. They're priceless. See ya.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, berry lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.